Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Prashanth. I'm the Assistant Minister here. It's good to be with you this Good Friday morning as we turn our minds to the centre of the Christian faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the 2000s film Remember the Titans, we find ourselves hearing about the story of a school, T.C. Williams, in the United States in the 1960s, which is at the centre of the race rows. And the heart of that story are these two characters. Gary Bertier, a white all-American athlete, highly talented, and Herman Boone, the black coach, and his black students who've come across with him. And amongst them are a couple of up-and-coming black football stars. These two groups are forced to integrate in this story. And what we come to see is particularly the white students very unhappy about this, led by Gary Bertier. Bertier's character is so compelling in this story because it's complex and you don't really know what to make of him for particularly the first part of the storyline. Is he good or bad? Is he noble or evil? What's compelling about a character like this is that it's true of life. Knowing people is actually very hard. It's very hard to get to know people. And we encounter this in various forms of our life. I mean, social media is a classic example where you meet the veneer of someone, but you understand that what you meet is very often just half of the storyline. We know that the people are not as they truly come across. Posts and statuses and pictures are overlaid with hyperbole and filters, which all makes access even harder. Perhaps you've been guilty of posting one of those photos, knowing deep down the schmozzle it took for that photo to come about. Nonetheless, this is the reality of people generally. They're hard to know. Now, the Gospels, the stories of Jesus Christ, have at their centre purpose that we might come to know Jesus Christ truly. Mark's Gospel, from which we read this morning, begins with these words. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark wants us to know Jesus Christ. And what's apparent, actually, in fact, from early on in Mark's Gospel, is that people know certain things about Jesus. They come to grasp certain truths about him almost immediately. In the first chapter, they acknowledge that he teaches with authority. Early on, we see large crowds, 4,000, 5,000 people following Jesus, following him, hearing him teach, experiencing his miracles, his provision. Even the disciples, by about midway through Mark's account of Jesus' life, give him the title Messiah. And then just a week before the events that we're celebrating today, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey with streets lined with palm branches, as a benevolent king, so to speak. And yet there is the sense throughout Mark's account that people don't really get who Jesus is. They don't really understand what he's like. They don't really know him. In fact, Jesus often tells people who've encountered him and his power and his miracles, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about me. This is startling and slightly confusing for us. But perhaps it's because for Jesus, powerful miracles, great moments of power don't fully disclose who he is. Who he is. Because people are prone to misunderstanding who Jesus is. They're prone to it. And in fact, the crucifixion, the moments leading up to and the hours of Jesus hanging on the cross are perhaps the greatest example of people misunderstanding who Jesus really is. The very first verse of our reading this morning had Jesus bound and shackled. Jesus Christ, bound and shackled. Did they understand who this was, who stood in their midst? And then the first reading which Bronwyn brought us has Jesus, the great judge of the world, subject to injustice at the hands of those he's actually entitled to judge. He stands before Pilate, who attempts to release him, but instead the one who's actually guilty, Barabbas, is released instead. And then Pilate really drives this home with his own unselfconscious words. What crime has he committed? Do they really understand who they have in their midst as all this takes place? There's all this activity in this story. Do they really understand who's standing at the center of it? And if that's not enough, there's constant mockery in our storyline. Constant words yelled at Jesus. They mock him for being the King of the Jews, and yet that's exactly what he is. One member of the crowd yells, "He can't even save himself." But that's, of course, the point. And even the criminals in Mark's story mock Jesus. They're dying next to the holy and sinless one. And what we come to realize is they don't understand who Jesus really is. They don't get it. They haven't fully comprehended who it is that's in the midst of them. They know bits about him. I mean, there is no doubt that the religious leaders knew Jesus was powerful. There is no doubt that many in the crowd who called for him to be crucified knew the great miracles that he'd performed. 4,000, 5,000 men, so double that figure, and you think 10,000 people had seen him feed the 5,000. Surely some of them must have been in the crowd. But the challenge here is, isn't it? If you know Jesus in part, you perhaps don't know him at all. You perhaps don't know him at all. And to know Jesus in part is very dangerous. Very dangerous. What's quite surprising, though, about the account of Mark and the way Mark retells this story is that despite all these misunderstandings, in fact, through these very misunderstandings about who Jesus is, God is working to clarify Jesus' real identity. He's working to clarify Jesus' identity. And so we come to what's really the heart of this story, which is that last reading. Jesus has been conspiring to draw everything to this moment, and suddenly in verse 33, everything quietens down. Up until now, it's been a cacophony of sounds buzzing around Jesus, mockery and injustice, and not to mention the very sound of violence, brutal violence, executed on him physically. But now things grow quiet at this moment, and the sky darkens, and our attention in the story turns from all those people who are buzzing around Jesus and who really don't understand him to Jesus himself, who sits at the center of this story. That darkness that we hear of is very unusual. 3 hours, it's in the middle of the day. There's something very supernatural about this moment. In fact, if you know the Old Testament and you've read the Exodus story, you will know that the penultimate plague that God sends is the plague of darkness. It's the plague just before the final one, when the firstborn children are killed, and now God's son is being offered up, preceded by this 3 hours of darkness. And then out of this darkness, that famous cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? And our attention is drawn to this man, naked and beaten and bleeding and dying on a cross, forsaken not just by his friends and his disciples and the world around him, but by his heavenly Father. Not just a physical death, a physical suffering, but a spiritual suffering. One theologian says the terrible torments of a condemned and lost man are captured in those words. It's such a low point. But the extraordinary thing about Mark's retelling of this story is that here, out of this moment, arises the greatest clarity about who Jesus Christ actually is. And it comes from the centurion of all people. He utters this clear description of Jesus, the clearest one since the start of the gospel story. Surely this man was the Son of God. In the first verse of Mark, he said, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And from that point to this point now, no one else has been able to come to this realization of who Jesus truly is. And yet here on the cross, we come to see that Jesus is God. And we are confronted with the profound and mysterious reality that to know God best is to see him hanging on the cross. There is mystery in that fact, actually. That for us to know God most clearly is to gaze upon the dying man on a cross. And ultimately, actually, that's something you can only accept by faith. You can only accept that reality by faith. The Jewish rulers say, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. But God is saying to them and he's saying to us, no, no, I want you to believe in me when I hang on the cross. I want you to believe in me when I die on that cross. The key point here is that God is on the cross. God is on the cross, not just a man, not just a revolutionary, not just a leader, not just a powerful healer, but God himself is hanging on the cross at this moment. That is very profound and one that we can only accept by faith. Now, this leaves us with one pertinent question, though. How does all this impact us? What does it mean if God is really hanging on the cross? How does that help us understand Good Friday and the gospel story? Well, I want to say it does two things for us. First of all, it tells us, ironically, about ourselves. We came to Good Friday thinking what we needed to know was a bit more about Jesus, and certainly we'll turn our minds to that in a moment. But the cross actually tells us about ourselves as well. You see, when we accept by faith that God himself is hanging on the cross, then we get an insight into what it means for humanity to meet God. Because the crucifixion is not just a bunch of people encountering a powerful leader. It's the world encountering their God. And what we come to see is what a sinful world wants to do to their God. They want to nail him to a cross. They want to kill him. And the constant testimony of Scripture is that this is not just the problem of those few people gathered around the foot of the cross that afternoon in Palestine, but actually the heart of every person in humanity. That ultimately, that is our problem too. And it is how we seek to treat God. I mean, if not for 2,000 years and a couple of thousand miles of space, we might be that religious leader who, driven by self-interest, would execute the Son of God on the cross. Or that gullible crowd member who might just go along with the flow. Or that passive onlooker. Or that absent disciple. The ultimate picture of Mark is Jesus hanging alone on the cross. Alone. No one stands with him. Ultimately, the violence and the viciousness and the injustice of the crucifixion confronts us with this reality. We are broken and sinful. And what depths that sin might drive us to. What depths. Yet, the cross ultimately speaks most clearly about who God is. And what lies at his heart. For those of us who comprehend by faith that the cross is not just the injustice of the world against a man, but the plan of God executed against himself, we start to see something about his own heart. We start to see something about his own character. And this moment is a revelation of who God truly is. Back in that story of Remember the Titans, Gary Bertie actually emerges as one of the great heroes of that story and in real life, actually. Why? Well, at least according to the narrative of the movie, about a third of the way through the story, Bertie is confronted with a key moment. A key moment. His team is dysfunctional. Racism still sits at the heart of their interaction. And white players won't play for black players. His best friends won't play for the cause of the team. And Bertier is forced with a choice. Will he move from what is comfortable and safe, from his friendships, from his lifelong connections, across to the other side and stand for those who need him to stand for them? And Bertier makes that choice. He crosses the divide at great cost to himself personally and relationally. And from that point on, Bertier and his black team captain are lifelong friends. Because great sacrifice reveals something noble about the heart. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives everything up, who steps down from his throne, who has himself nailed to the cross, who dies not just for those people who are passive, but dies for those people who nailed him to the cross, who mocked him and who beat him, for those Roman centurions, for the centurion who cries, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Such is the depth, such is the wonder of the heart of God revealed to us in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the crucifixion and Good Friday reminds us just of how sinful we really are. But it also reminds us of how loved we can be. It reminds us of how mysterious God is. And yet at the heart, how deeply loving and merciful he is to his people. Will you come to the cross this Easter? Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Amen.